So good to see you at church this morning, 2 Timothy chapter 3. And there'll be people coming and going, church as usual, drifting in and out. Don't pay too much attention. I'm up in the front. I can see everything that goes on. I see people whispering, playing angry birds on their phone, walking in and out, laughing, joking. It's good to see people happy, amen? Good. Enjoy your salvation. And still good just to come to church for the fellowship. And as Pastor said, about the Word of God, that's what feeds our soul. And our hearts ought to pant after the Lord God, the Word of God. Like a hart panteth after the water brooks, the psalmist said. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3, we're right at the end of the chapter, and we need to look at verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Then here's a classic. If you ever memorized John 3:16, most people, when they see John 3:16, they can quote the verse, because it's I call it one of the 3:16 verses. And there are a number of 3:16 verses in the scripture, and it's not coincidence, and this is one of the 3:16s. Now, when I give you the verse, you'll say, oh, bingo. Yeah, now watch how they go together. Verse 16, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." That's one of the 3:16s. There's a number of them throughout the New Testament, and if you're into memorization and pegging verses of scripture, people peg them. A good way to peg them is with a number, and 3:16 is a good way to do that. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Sunday school lesson today, and I thank you for the prayer, the opening prayer this morning, and for praying for the class. But as I prepared the lesson, I like to prepare close to the day I'm going to teach, unless there's something keeping me from that, then it's fresher in my mind. But as I prepared the lesson yesterday, I thought about the upcoming meeting with Phil Skipper. And it'll be a good time to get in. And I don't want to say post-pandemic, but we're hoping now, because we're able to meet again, and there's still outbreaks, and you hear the news and things going on, but even in spite of all that, we're looking at a meeting, and I'm excited about the meeting, because it seems like when there's some kind of trouble in our nation, some kind of trouble in our community, this pandemic has been like that, it's caused a lot of heartache and problems and struggles. Then the child of God is looking to the man of God for the word of God to see what God might say. So I, with great expectation, look for the services, and I'm already planning on how I'm going to get here every night. Amen. And you say, how are you going to do that? Well, I'm going to take a nap every day so that I'm fresh as a daisy that evening. I can sing, and you get old like me and Brother Tom. You still want the preaching. You still want to hear it. You want to go. You want to do it, because you get something from it, and just guides you and helps you. So I'm making plans now to get here every night. And not to mention it, I get the blessing. And it wouldn't matter if he was my friend or he wasn't my friend, but Phil Skipper's my friend, has been for years. I've known him, and he's always been the same. He's not blown about by every wind of doctrine, so on and so forth. So it's just, I'm looking forward to the meeting. Keep that in the forefront of your mind as we teach, and as the preacher preaches today, and as we sing songs. Our hearts are preparing for not just teaching today and preaching today, but for what's coming. So we'll get to praying about it and look forward to that. But watch in verse 14, he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." And in this verse, "but continue," the very word continue says that we can't get it one day and then we're good to go and forget about it, because we already had that, we done that. That's not how the Word of God works. Now, if you were reading Look Magazine, Reader's Digest, or any other number of pieces of literature, whether they're good or bad, you could read them one time, maybe twice, and be done with it. But the Word of God is not that way. It's a supernatural book. It's a spiritual book, and I'll give you some of those things in a moment. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. So I thought about 1 Timothy when we were in that book, 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16, on the word continue, to continue. You say, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to continue doing what I've always done. Well, how are you going to serve God? I'm going to continue on, determined to continue on. That word continue is a powerful word, but in verse 16 of chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, he says, take heed unto thyself. So it's a personal application here. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Then there's a, not a colon, but a semicolon, and he's going to finish with just as powerful of a statement. Continue in them, and then a colon. Now you got to complete two powerful thoughts. Number one, there's no questioning what we should do with the Word of God. We're to continue in it. If you have a reading habit of reading the Word of God, read it every day. If you have the habit of listening to the Bible, and I've kind of in that mode, have been for a while. I like to listen to things. And with this new technology, you know, you have your phones, you have stuff on your phones, and they even got these little fancy things you plug in your ears. You see those? I didn't for sure know what that was, but they call them ear pods. Is that what it is? Earbuds, ear pods? Yeah, some of the younger generation knows Ted and Mary. I don't know if you guys, Ted's going, I've never heard of that. I hadn't either till Father's Day, and guess what I got? I got a pair of Apple iBud Pros, huh? And they're white. I mean, look, like I got earrings. You got them, Stevie?
I gave you one pair a long time ago.
You did? I probably wore them out, or I probably soldered them to something, didn't know what they were. I got them earbuds in, buddy. I am tuned in. I was sitting on the porch this morning drinking that second cup of coffee, watching the squirrels play in the tree. I had Southern Gospel cranked up to the hilt. Man, my head's still rattling. Say, what are you trying to say? Well, everybody don't know what they are, but with technology, you can continue in the Word of God is what I'm saying. And I listen to my Bible every day. And I'd pulled a little green onion out of Bonnie's deck garden. She got some pots there. And I cut it off, and it's white, and it's round. And I cut the roots off, and I laid it on the counter. We're getting old. She come wheeling that wheelchair. She's looking around, you know, do you get me any pickles out of the garden? You get me? I said, yeah, I get them, babe. I got them. She said, there's one of your earbuds laying there. I said, honey, that ain't no earbud. That's an onion. So she threw my breakfast up there at the bar. We got a kitchen bar there and some stools. And she had fixed me a nice breakfast. Man, I grabbed that onion. I said, watch here. I sliced it up, and I garnished my eggs with that onion. Just, boy, I dove in. So don't get your earbuds mixed up with your onions. I guess I better settle down and teach this lesson. But continue thou in the things. So continue in the Word of God with technology the way it is. We got tape recorders. We got earbuds. We got Apple phones and Droid phones. We got it. We got it all. We got CD, we got live stream, we got it all. So there should be no excuse for the child of God, person that claims to be saved, not to be in the Word of God on a daily basis. It'll help you walk right. It'll help you love God and love the Word of God. And by the time you apply this and continue and continue and continue, you'll be scratching your head saying, man, I don't know how I live without this. And it becomes a habit, a good habit. So Romans, Paul said this to the Roman people in Romans chapter 11, verse 22. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell, severity, but toward thee goodness, talking to the saved group, the contrast here, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shalt be cut off. So there's a powerful word that in the English language in the context of our lesson this morning about continuing in the things of God, continuing in the Word of God, used a couple other times in the New Testament and throughout the Scriptures. We won't run that trail any further. But we are responsible to continue in the Word of God, the things of God. Verse 14, the latter part of that verse, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That's what teaching and preaching is all about. That's what mentoring is all about. A lot of times when somebody gets up to preach the Word of God, to teach the Word of God, and they're very consistent, and you can tell if they are in the Word of God or they're not in the Word of God, so on and so forth. And when you look at that, there's a reckoning, a personal reckoning, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And he's talking, number one, about the Spirit of God. Number two, the Apostle Paul, in this case, he was his teacher. But the Holy Ghost of God is the true teacher, and he makes it applicable when we read it and study it because it's a supernatural book, and he applies it to our heart and our life. So I get asked, well, you know, it's just the Word of God. Why would I want to spend so much time in that? There are many other things I'd like to read and do. Well, I'll tell you what, you won't find any book on the face of the earth, any lecture, any literature, any course you can take that's more beneficial than the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. But if you're a little bit ignorant, as I learned when I was younger, I was a mess. It'll give you an English lesson. Amen. It'll tell you how to talk. And people say, well, why? Number one reason why, because it's inspired. Now, you say, well, at first glance, God's Word is inspired. And our 3:16 verse, 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's inspired. Do you know that the Noah Webster Dictionary is not inspired? Now, I know you knew that. Did you know that world history, as you took it in schools, was not inspired? You know, you can read a great bestseller, it's not inspired. Matter of fact, there's no other book on the face of the earth that's inspired by God himself. You say, wow, that moves it up to the top shelf up there. So somebody said, well, why would I want to continue in the Word of God? Number one, because it's inspired. Number two, because it's illuminating. You say, illuminating? Yeah, you ever hear anybody said, shine a little light on that for me? Can you shine a little light on this? What are they talking about? Well, it goes along with what we might learn from the Word of God. And you've heard messages on the inspiration of God, the illumination of God. And the Word of God can illuminate us. And that means shine light in our life, in all the crevices, all the cracks, and all the places nobody else can see. That light, that illuminating light of the Word of God can shine in where nothing else can. Amen. And that, let me give you a thought on that. In John chapter 1, and this is John's gospel, John knew about the light and the illuminating power of the Word of God. Let me turn back to John chapter 1. And this is all because we're to continue in the Word of God, continue in the things that we've learned from the Apostle Paul in this case, and the Holy Ghost of God. But in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word of God. I'm sorry, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So a real closeness to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. He says, the same was in the beginning with God and God. Now be careful. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Say, well, how do you equate that? What's that mean? That means with the Spirit of God, the Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, they were, and God the Father, the Creator God. In him was life. And the life was, here it is, the light of men. Now we're getting ready to see the light. And by the way, you can't receive any real light without receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. You can get some light on some physical things and some carnal things, some worldly things. I got it. And you can get pretty good at some things if you get enough light on it. But the light we're talking about here is a spiritual light, a supernatural thing that feeds the soul. And the light shineth in darkness. Yeah, and every person's got some dark side. But the light, you continue in the Word of God, it'll polish up the old dark places. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Darkness don't want light, it likes dark. But light, remember this, dissipates dark. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. It's the light. He was not that light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Now we're talking about the illuminating power of God. That was the true light. And by the way, you notice the word light is capitalized there in your King James Bible. That's because it's talking about the Word of God or the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a personification. Watch. Which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. So if you get saved, you get the Lord Jesus Christ and you get the light. Now, if you want to build on that light, you will continue, as Paul told Timothy, in the things of God that ye have learned from me. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Nope, the world doesn't know him. Oh, they'll claim to know a Jesus, but check 1 Corinthians chapter 11 out. He'll tell you about another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel. You got to be careful for those. There's all kinds of stuff like that out there, but one true God. So he came unto his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word, in other words, it's capitalized again, W-O-R-D, was made flesh. Well, who's that? How'd that happen? Well, he said the Word was with God, and the Word was God, so it's got to be the Lord Jesus Christ. It sure gets close, doesn't it? The Word and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, a little note by the Holy Spirit. There's a parenthesis there. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father. Just want to throw that in there. He's talking about the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Full of grace and truth, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I'm going to stop there, John, but you get the idea. The Word of God with the Spirit of God dwelling inside of you, and you're to continue in these things that ye have learned. You say, why? Just so you can be illuminated in spiritual things. Be in the know. Number one, because it's inspired. Number two, because it has the illuminating power of supernatural book. Number three, this is deep now. And anybody that knows me knows that I'm not a scuba diver. I'm a water skier. I just playing along the top. But this point right here is watch. You say, why? Well, number one, because it's inspired. Number two, because it's illuminating. Because it's truth. Now, I don't know about you, but where can you go? Can you read a newspaper and come away saying, boy, that was some truth there? Can you read a field and stream and come away with all them stories? You know, these guys doing all this hunting and all this paranormal stuff, you know, and they get this big trophy and all this and come away saying, yeah, I don't know how embellished that was. Why, I hear Biden can't even write his own speeches. He's accused of plagiarism. That's stealing somebody else's stuff. You think, how much of that, I'm not supposed to get on governments, that's right. But how much of that stuff do you think's truth? Not much. Could I say this morning? We're to continue in the things of God because it's truth. And brother, when you get the truth, you don't have to put up with the lie because you got the truth. So I'm just giving you a few simple things. John chapter 17, verse 17, one of the greatest chapters in the book of John. He declares, sanctify them through thy truth. In other words, set them aside. Thy word is truth. You say, well, that's just a bunch of stories in the Old Testament. All that. No, it's the inspired, illuminating truth of God. And our text said, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. You ain't going to get around this book if you're a Christian. Well, I don't take my Bible to church. Not a big thing, you know. I'm there just to feel. Well, good, I feel too, and I like to feel good. And I was listening to that Southern Gospel this morning with my earbuds. I was feeling it, man. But it's no singing has ever taken the place of the Word of God. Amen. And I love singing. You know it. I like to sing. I sing bass. I like to play the piano. I like to play the guitar. I wish I could make my voice go, oh, I can't. I don't have that perfect vibrato. Some people do. It's great. It's a gift, I guess. They just wake up and can do that. I can't do that. I practice sometimes. I was on the porch this morning. The Florida boys were singing. I had it turned up to about 35 decibels. My head was popping. No, I was jiving, drinking coffee, getting that caffeine, and I was singing. Was I on tune? No. Because Bonnie come out the door. She said, what are you doing in that wheelchair? I live back in the woods, up a holler. Nobody can hear me. But she caught me. Say, but you know what? As much as I love singing Southern gospel, bluegrass, as much as I love all that, none of it takes the place of the Word of God. Yeah. Amen. And you know a Gabbert loves music. Now, so because it's the truth, let me give you something that's real simple again. Because it's spiritual, in John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus teaching there, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. It's the Holy Ghost of God that does the powerful work on the inside of us. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now, the flesh can't get you saved. It can't profit you to get you to heaven. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are alive. Brother, that's a spiritual book. And when you speak that book, when you preach that book, when you teach that book, there's something spiritual going on because the Holy Ghost of God, he's about the spiritual things from the Word of God, and he ministers to the spiritual aspect of his work and the Word of God. Spiritual. It's a spiritual book. Boy, it used to be years ago, back in the 1860s, right around the Civil War time, before that and after that, and even those men that fought, some of the stories that I've read about that, brother, if there was a preacher somewhere or a baptizing going on, it was not unusual for the South to stop fighting and the North to stop fighting in regard to that book and somebody getting saved, and watch what was going on. I guess when it was over, they started fighting again. Say, why? It's a spiritual book, that's why. And people used to recognize it for that. Now they don't today so much. If you don't think that's a spiritual book, you go eat out today. Take it down to Frisch's. Go down there and eat. Wherever you want to eat. Or whatever you're doing. Next time you go out to eat, get that Bible off your coffee table, that big one. Put it up under your arm and walk into that place. And when that host is coming, can I seat you please? Is it one or two? Two. No, there's three. I got my Bible. She'll look at you like you got three heads, and she'll take you back there. They'll probably set you in the back corner if you got that Bible with you, and you lay that Bible up there, smack that thing down. Man, people will walk around that thing like it's you got the plague. They'll think you're some kind of fanatic. Say, how do you know all that? I've done it. I didn't mean to do it. Just that old black book. You take it in, and if you've been working on the street, been on visitation, you go in, and sometimes I don't leave it in the car. I just take it with me, flop down up there just like that. I might open up. Yeah, we were right over there. And, man, people walk around you. You got the plague, man. They'll see that thing's the Bible, and they don't want nothing to do with you. They know you're a Bible thumper, and there's something about that book, that old black book. Yeah, it's a spiritual book. That's why. Talk about your soul. I've given you three or four things here. Let me say, because there is no other like it. There's no other book like that book.
You can take Shakespeare and lay it down. Somebody may come up and muse and kind of smile. Say, oh, I'm reading Shakespeare. I say, yeah, okay, yeah, it's a good book. Yeah, rose by any color is still a rose, you know. So. You'd be reading Zane Grey, them old Western books, and lay that book up there. And somebody, oh, you're reading Zane. I read those when I was a kid. I made some good movies out of it. People identify. You lay that book up there. There ain't no book like this book. You see that painting over there on the right side? My right, your left. That's about the monarch of books, the Word of God, the 1611, the King James Bible. And the man that painted that picture, Dr. Ruckman, painted that thing because, brother, he took a stand for that book, as all Bible believers ought to. And being the artist that he was, he drew all those other books. And if you've ever tried to figure what that is over there, brother, he's got a Socrates, Aristotle, Euclid. I can't name them all. He's got Westcott and Hort. He's got everybody that ever wrote a book that ever thought that thing was worth anything. And it was so powerful and so great, it's going to change the world. But there's no book like that book. There's no other book like that book right there. Like that book. Because there's no other like it. And that verse that come to my mind, well, a couple of them came to my mind. The first one that come to my mind was in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thought and the intent of the heart. And you know the verse that went right hand in hand with that thing was when David was running from Saul. And David had come down there as a young man, and he was getting ready to start his life serving God in a public way. And he had killed the giant Goliath. You remember the story. And he was running for his life. And the giant was killed, I thought of this verse. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, he was looking for a weapon. He said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest, is in the valley of Elah. Behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Somebody had put it back and put it away. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that. Give it me. That's how I feel about this book. You can give me a dictionary. You can give me a bestseller. You can give me iPods. So I can listen to any book. Brother, there's something just about this book right here. There's none like this book. And I say there be a question. I'm talking about the 1611 King James Bible. So because there's none like it, could I say this morning, because I'm on this thing and can't get off of it, it's everlasting. Book ain't going no place. Oh, they'll rewrite that thing. Well, they've been trying to rewrite that thing since early ages, and this book's still around. The King James Bible's still here. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You want to know why you're to continue in the word of God? There's something supernatural about that book. Could I say lastly, and I'll get off this, because it is Alpha and Omega. Revelation chapter 1, verse 11, the scripture says, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and what thou seest, write in a book. And John did that. And send it into the seven churches which are in Asia. And that's something. Send it to the churches. Oh, we're a church today. We're the last church. Most likely the last church. Unto Ephesus and unto Smyrna and to Pergamos and unto Thyatira and unto Sardis and unto Philadelphia and unto Laodicea. You say, what's he saying? Brother, that book is for the church. That book is for God's people. God don't care if the world don't believe that book. God don't care if the Jew don't believe that book. And he covers it well in Romans chapter 3, verse 1, 2, and 3. If you want to go check that out, go. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. He don't care what you believe about it or how you feel. It's so you're to continue in the word of God. And I like what he said there. We were in verse 14 looking at the word and continuing that. But verse 15, from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. It is a good thing to teach your children the Holy Scriptures at a young age. I've asked my mother, I said, I don't ever remember not knowing John 3:16. I said, how do you account for that? I asked my mother that. I said, here, and she's 90, she'll be 92 her next birthday, and I'm 70. She says, before you could probably remember, I taught you John 3:16. I said, you got to be kidding me. She said, no. I said, why'd you teach me John 3:16? Why don't you teach me something else? Well, she said it was just the most used verse. And I thought, well, you know, I'll let you memorize that. And I can remember standing on a wooden bench that my dad had made. So we didn't have running water in the house. Some of you fancy folks probably don't know what I'm talking about. No running water. We had this red pump that you pump like that, and water came out of it. And I don't think we were supposed to drink that water, but we took baths in it. And we didn't have a bathroom, per se, in that house. But we had an old wooden bench, and she'd stand me up on that bench, and she had a pan of water there, and she'd give me a bath. I vaguely can remember that. She said, that's when I taught you John 3:16. I remember being naked and ashamed. We moved from that place when I was 6 years old. But by the time I was six, when I was 4 or 5 years old, that's when I was getting taught that verse. By six, I think I was trying to give myself my own bath. Amen. Not doing too good at it, but you know. Say, what happened? I learned John 3:16. I didn't know any other verse. You know what? I was 4 or 5 years old. I can't even remember back past four. You know, I can't. I just can't. And I wasn't saved. I didn't get saved until I was 12. So, but that verse stuck with me. That verse I could not forget. That verse, because it had illuminating power, because it was inspired of God, because it was taught to me by my mother, because it was a supernatural, no other like it. I learned it, and it really didn't come into true focus until I got saved at 12 years old. And then I caught myself quoting John 3:16 and had a child's understanding of God loved me so much that he let his son die for me. Wow. I am Alpha and Omega. And from a child, you do not dishonor God. Matter of fact, you do God an honor to teach your children the Word of God at a young age. In our house, our kids all learned verses of Scripture. They were mostly homeschooled most of the time. And so they had memory verses and they learned that way. And to me, it's a barrier against the forces of evil, the light of the Word of God, continuing that. So here, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. And again, the emphasis is on Holy Scriptures. I didn't even say because it's holy, and I could have. But it's said for us. It is the only hope for our young people today. I truly believe that. You look out in America today, something that's wrong in our homes, in our families, our dysfunctional homes, our dysfunctional children. And God has a lot of good kids, a lot of good moms, and a lot of good dads. But I'm telling you, we're anemic when it comes to the Word of God. It's not being taught to our kids. I remember being in fifth grade in Miss Kerr's class. She taught us the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I think we had the Christian flag in there. We said the Christian pledge, and then she would give us a verse of Scripture. And I remember the first verse of Scripture I ever learned in the fifth grade. Say, what was it? Man, it was a tough one. Jesus wept. And she said, now anybody can get that. It's the shortest verse in the Bible. I thought, how about that? Fifth grade, Jesus wept. Went home that day, told my mom, hey, I learned a verse of Scripture today. What is it? Jesus wept. Say, why? Supernatural. So teach our children. I think our children need to be taught the Word of God. It used to be the primer. It used to be what we read out of it. It's not anymore. And the book hasn't changed, by the way. It's people that have changed. So it's the only hope for our young people. And verse 16 in chapter 2 there of Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. Then he capitalizes on the scripture again with this verse, and we talked about it earlier, but he says, all scripture, in other words, the complete word of God, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. There's the verse we use, and is profitable for doctrine. And those are the things we're to continue in, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Verse 17, that the man of God may be, and that's just not the preacher. He was being personal to Timothy. He was the young preacher. This applies and is applicable to anyone that picks up the word of God, whether you're a man, whether you're a woman, whether a child. He says that the man of God may be perfect. You say, how can I be perfect? Only with the word of God. Truly. I looked that word up, and I've always liked that word. Truly furnished in all good works. So I looked that up. Truly means, it's an adverb here, it means truly, completely, fully, wholly. Second definition, through and through. Wow. In other words, totally engulfed in it. Amen. So all scripture, not some, but all scripture, it says, is given by inspiration of God. There'll be some folks say, well, the parables weren't inspired. Listen, don't buy that line. That's not true. God preserved this book for us in this age, in this day. We have his word. Most profitable. I like that. Most profitable. Everybody's worried about being profitable today. And the real profit is not in dollars and cents. Well, it's nice to have a couple dollars. Amen. But the real profit comes in the things of God, the Spirit. That's why we teach the Word of God every Sunday morning. That's why we preach the Word of God every Sunday morning. And we come back on Sunday night, we preach it again. Jeremiah did a great job Wednesday night in the series he's on. And he preached the Word of God that Wednesday night. You say, why? Because we are going to continue in the spiritual things in the Word of God that we have learned from the Scriptures, from the Apostle Paul. And it fortifies us, helps us, builds us up, keeps us strong, and helps us get more done for the glory of God, the Word of God. All right, thank you for listening this morning. We'll close out in a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to teach your Word. And the Sunday school hour always seems to fly by so fast. So we ask God now you'd bless our singers, our singing. Bless our preacher as he preaches. Bless the congregational singing, Brother Jeff as he leads, bless the offering, the children in the back, and all the people that do the ministries and work and the sound and everything that's done here, the offer, everything. Lord, we ask your blessing on it today. May we bring thee glory and honor. Save that one that needs to be saved today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you and good morning.